You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the equine network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
A good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Lisa Wysocki. Today I'm in Long Lake, Minnesota, and you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Wednesday, July 8th, episode 3991, brought to you by Chewy. Good morning, horse people.
Minnesota. Up there,
yeah.
Is it warm up there too?
Or it is warm up here too.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah, everywhere you go, it is warm.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know about you. We've been hosing horses like every hour and a half. It's been crazy.
I know it's been crazy in Florida too. Although over the weekend, I was so excited because we were much cooler than all of our relatives in Pennsylvania who were at about 102. So we were like, oh, we're cool. It's nice to live in Florida where the weather's.
That's bizarre, actually.
Although we're going to be up to 98 this week. So, you know, and 1,000% humidity. You know how that is.
I know how that is. So, yeah.
So pretty much, if we don't do something by 9 o'clock in the morning.
It's done.
Or after 7, you forget.
Yeah.
It's just too bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. It's weird weather.
Yeah. Well, we're thinking about everybody. I know that y'all, and boy, that Colorado fire. Speaking of which, Jamie's out there. That's why she's off this week. She's out at the ranch out there. She helps with every year. And she started posting pictures last night. It sure is pretty out in Colorado.
I saw those pictures too. It's gorgeous.
Yeah. Colorado is one pretty state. When it's not burning down, it's one pretty state. I have a podcasting friend who's 5 miles from the fires now.
Really?
Yeah, on an evacuation, maybe evacuation alert. So we're thinking about you all out there who are I know some of our listeners were in the path and had to evacuate. So we're hoping it all works out. That's one nasty fire out there.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's very scary.
All right, today's show, we're going to be talking about new shows. That's right. Stephanie Ruff joins us to tell us about her new show on the Horse Radio Network. It's called Feeding Horses. It's just that. It's a show about feeding horses, and that's put on by thehorse.com. Also, I'm co-hosting a brand new show called Did I Hear That Right? My co-host Scott Johnson is going to stop by to talk about this new show where we ask people to answer the question, what is one unusual thing you've done that no one else you know has? And I think it's just going to be a fun show. Not about horses. This is a non-horse show, but it's fun for me to talk about non-horsey things for a little bit. And I love Scott and we love working together. So I think that's going to be a lot of fun. Auditors, hang on for a post show. We have no idea what we're going to talk about.
We'll come up with something.
wanted to remind everybody, too, that the 4,000th episode is coming up in a week and a half. If you're planning on attending the live Zoom call, this is on the 19th, Sunday night the 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern time. We did that because Monday is the 4,000th episode. So we're going to record the Zoom call as the 4,000th episode. And we thought, what a better way to do it than hang out with you guys. So if you're planning on attending the Zoom call and you want to hop on and say a few words about what HITA means to you or anything, you just want to talk to Jamie and I, then drop me an email at glenn@horseradionetwork.com. We're coming up with a list of people who want to chat. If you're not attending, you can head over to horseradionetwork.com and use the voicemail button right there in the homepage. Just click, do it on your phone, go to horseradionetwork.com in a browser, click the voicemail button and just talk. You know, just send us a message. We'd love to hear from as many listeners as possible, and we'll play them on that Zoom call that night. And of course, Lisa, you're invited, you know, to join us.
Well, I've already sent in my RSVP.
Oh,
so
good.
Yeah. But okay. Glenn, are you just like, do you know the significance of this? I mean, has this like gotten into your brain? This is like amazing.
Not really for Jamie. Jamie and I were talking about it the other day because we just do one episode at a time.
Right.
You know, now we've been doing it for 16 years. but you know, we are only ever thinking about the next couple of episodes and who we have guests. So once the thing about a daily show is it doesn't give you time. When you're doing a weekly show or twice a month show, you have time to reflect on the last episode. You have time to promote it. You have time to do all the things that normal podcasters do. We don't, because tomorrow we have another episode. So that's the difference between a daily show is there's not enough time to process what you just did because you're doing another one tomorrow.
Right.
So I think that's why. I think we talked a little bit about it, and we think that's why this is a little different feel to it. I belong to a network group. It's an alliance of people who have podcast networks, independent people with podcast networks like ours. And we meet once a month, and we do a highlight at the end of every meeting of what our highlights are. And I mentioned the 4,000th episode. And they were all like, you know, I think there's maybe three or four other that have done it. When you take the NPRs out.
Right.
Independents, there's probably three or four others that have done it in the whole world.
And it's just amazing.
The one guy who's been doing it longer than me was on this call, and he said, I don't think anybody's ever done it with the same co-hosts like you have. So, because Jamie and I started together, so that's a rare thing. That's a really rare thing.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're proud of this. We're happy everybody listens. You know, we're thankful for the listeners. We're thankful. Well, let's do this right now. As a matter of fact, good tie-in. I have no auditor birthdays today, so I'm giving my daily whinny to you, Lisa. You get my daily whinny today.
Oh, my goodness. I've never gotten a daily whinny before, I don't think.
I looked, and your first appearance on this show, believe it or not, was February 17th of 2011.
Seriously.
Episode 79.
Oh, my gosh.
You were on to talk about your book, Horse Country, A Celebration of Country Music, and the Love of Horses.
Wow. How did you find that?
I don't know. We were playing music back then because nobody cared about podcasting, so rights wasn't an issue because nobody even knew we existed. So we could get away. It was kind of like the Wild Wild West back then. We could get away with whatever we wanted to, and nobody cared because nobody cared, right? The problem with thing getting more popular is they care now. So now we have all these rights issues, and we can't play music anymore. You know, it's just... Mm-hmm. It changes when you actually get popular. And we knew that was going to happen someday. And it was like, oh, our fun's going to be done because we won't be able to do just whatever the heck we want. But back then, we could do whatever the heck we want. And we were playing music. So I probably was looking up artists and music and, you know, that involved horses and came across your book. That's the only thing I can think of.
Wow. Wow.
Did you think it was 15 years ago?
No, but you know, Glenn, I attended those new media meetups that you had in Lexington.
That's right. How did you find out about those? That was even before
Frankie Lovato.
So that's how we really met in the first place.
Yes. Okay. Yes. It's all his fault.
Yeah, that makes sense now. How we met. So we actually met in like 2008, somewhere around there or 2009.
We did. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. That's almost 20 years, Glenn. That's a little scary.
So my daily whinny goes to you. You are terrific at filling in anytime we ask you to. I mean, when you're doing a daily show like this, stuff happens. And sometimes it happens that day before, and I have to call Lisa and say, can you do tomorrow? And you're great. You usually can always do tomorrow. So we do appreciate that. And you've meant a lot to the show, and we thank you for just being part of it for so long.
Oh, well, thank you, Glenn. I think what that means is that I don't have a life.
I was trying to say, sure. Yeah, you're pretty busy right now. You know, what I was trying to find, and this was hard. I couldn't figure it out because there's just been too many episodes you've been on. But I tried to figure out the first episode you co-hosted, and I couldn't come up with it because there were so many episodes you've been on over the years. I just couldn't figure it out. So
I want to say it was maybe about 2013. Yeah. Right in there someplace. Yeah.
That would probably make sense. So it's been
13 or 14
maybe.
Were
you on the Bad Sound Days?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 I was part of that. I contributed.
Well, we're certainly glad that you're still here and that we're all still friends and all doing this together. So.
Well, thank you, Glenn.
So thank you, Lisa. Now it's your turn.
Well, my daily whinny is a little different. Doesn't have anything to do with podcasting. Goes to a lady named Lee Franzen. And so, Glenn, you know, I mean, a lot of the listeners know my mom passed last summer at age 102, and she had a friend, and my mother's mother, my grandmother, and this lady's mother were friends growing up back in, like, I don't know, like 120 years ago. Seriously, Lee Franzen is 93 years old. So her mother and my grandmother were friends. And so she would call us when I was growing up when she would call us like every, I don't know, 4th of July and Thanksgiving and Christmas and Easter. And she'd write letters every week. And she and my mom were friends because their mothers were friends. Anyway, I have not seen her since I was 11 years old. And so I just decided I'm just going to go see her. And she lives in northern Wisconsin. And so last week I went up, I just drove up and met her for, you know, second time in my life. And she's just a delight. She really is. I mean, she's just a lot of fun. And she had a big career as a headhunter job placement person and has a lovely home. She's still in her house and her husband passed a few years ago, but it was just great. And anyway, my daily whinny goes to her just for being who she is and being a lot of fun and welcoming me with open arms.
What is it about old ladies up north living forever?
I don't know. You know, it's the weather, maybe, you know, it toughens you up.
I mean, that's terrific. I mean, your mother was 102. This lady's 93.
Yeah. And she's just great. And just a lot of fun. And I wish I had known her, you know, 50 or 60 or 70 years ago, because I think she would have been a lot of fun to go out with, you know, and just cruise the clubs and go to dinner and all that stuff.
Huh. Very good. Well, how about the movie, the Cat Edmund Wright movie? You're in post-production now, so I assume we're just editing away.
We are editing away, and Glenn, I saw your scene. There's a whole bunch of shots of you holding this camera up to your face, and my gosh, you look just determined. You know, you like you're going to get that shot or else.
Hey, and I'm an actor's actor, let me tell you.
You are. I mean, holy cow. I'm going, holy cow, I don't want to get in his way, you know. So we have a Facebook page. It's Cat Enright Mysteries on Facebook, obviously, and we're posting stuff just about every day. But I'm gonna pull a still from that and post that in the next day or so. Because yeah, you're just right there, and all of the Horse Radio Network hosts who played journalists. Oh my gosh, it was so much fun, and they're great.
The director said, "Be enthusiastic." He didn't have to ask.
My gosh,
I mean, Ashley and Heather were there.
Elbowing each other out of the way, and yeah, and Bronwyn Hart Irwin did a great job as Buffy, the main journalist. She was awesome. So we're in post production, and that's, you know, syncing all the sound, and you know, the editor figures out when to use a close up and when to use a long shot, and you know, all of that. So
are we allowed to announce the other thing that happening later in the year? That we're going to start next week recording?
Yes.
Are we allowed to announce that? Okay.
Yes.
All right, why don't you announce that then?
Well, I'm making the announcement, but I don't think we even have a name for this yet. So we have to figure that out. But Glenn and I are going to be co-hosting a Cat Enright movie podcast. And we are going to be on the Horses in the Morning franchise. And we're going to be interviewing producers and cast and location hosts and horse owners and all the fun stuff in the movie. And you know, but we're starting, I think, in November, although we are doing some of the interviews, you know, starting next week, because we have a lot of people to interview. So, I mean, it's going to be a big lead up to when the film actually comes out sometime next spring.
Yeah, that's why we're waiting until later in the year to do it, is we wanted it to be closer to the release.
Yeah.
And still working on getting it sold to somebody.
Big. Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much done. I just can't say anything. Okay. So, you know.
Will there be a premiere? But like at a place?
Yeah, so they are working on that now. I know there's going to be one in Wilmore, Kentucky at Asbury University. I think there's
a lot of the
also
Asbury kids helped, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were amazing. And what a good group of kids. I mean, just fabulous. Then I think they're talking about having one in Lexington and one in Nashville. So
Jennifer and I have to do a road trip, aren't we?
You will have to. Yes, yeah. You will have to.
Oh, that'll be fun. Yeah. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Now, for this movie, it's probably not black tie. It'll be cowboy hat and boots for this movie.
I would think so. Yeah. Muck boots.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. Bring your best muck boots.
And one other thing, we don't get to get caught up with you too often anymore. How's everything at Colby's Army down in Tennessee?
Oh, everything's great, except, you know, Glenn, I think we may have talked this before, but, you know, I have this ongoing problem of an Oldenburg gelding jumping out of the pasture multiple times a day. And
that's so annoying.
I don't know.
We had one that did that, and it was so annoying.
It is so annoying. You know, thank goodness he never goes anywhere. He just, you know, hangs out. But then half the time he jumps back in, you look at him and you point, and he just like, okay, and he jumps back in. But
you have pretty you tall know, fences. They're normal size.
We do. We do. And we've raised our round, our round pen fence. We can't even like round pen him because he will jump out of a 6-foot round pen from a standstill.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Why isn't this horse a jumper?
Well, you know, he's really slow, so he can't keep up to the speed of the jumpers.
He can jump high, but slowly.
Very slowly, yeah, yeah. And he did do hunters, you know, on the A-level circuits, and he was in Wellington. He was born in Germany. He jumped all over Europe, and you know, but holy cow, he likes to jump.
Well, get him up there, Lisa, see if he can do the world's record. I don't know what it is nowadays, but...
Well, that's an idea. He might be.
He can do that slowly. He apparently can jump really high from a practical standstill.
Absolutely. And, you know, you get on him, Glenn, and it's like, you know, you ask him to walk, you know, like nicely once or twice. And the third time you have to like whack him and he's like, oh, okay. And then he just kind of ambles off, you know.
Well, as long as he's not causing mischief.
No, he's not. Other than, you know, if he's loose in the arena, you know, he'll take those traffic cones and fling them all over the place. And he got his head stuck in the basketball goal the other day. That was fun. He thought it was fun, you know, thank goodness.
So, always
but
one.
I'm sure every listener has a horse like this.
Yeah,
you know,
always one. It's just like when you're in school, there's always that one kid, right? I mean, it's just always one. There's always one in every family. There's just always one. And as Jamie always says, if you don't know the one, you are the one. So
you are the one. Yeah. That's it. That's so great. And you know, I have to tell you this though, Glenn. Yeah, we're building a caretaker house up on the hill that overlooks the farm. And I was away, I don't know, a month ago. I guess I must have been in Lexington. And the contractor called me like at 6:30 in the morning, and he said, "There's a big brown horse up here at the building site." And I'm like, "Okay, I'll see what I can call to get him in." And he goes, "Oh, wait, he's trotting down the hill. Oh, he's galloping. He's going across the driveway. Oh, he just jumped back in."
He made that contractor's day.
he did. Yes. Like, great.
Are you moving into the house soon?
Maybe in September. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Very excited. Good. I'll have plumbing. That'll be fun.
A bathroom.
Yeah.
In the kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah. So Glenn, the pan, I guess they call it the pan for the shower, is in like the bottom part of the shower. I was so excited to see that.
For those who don't know, it's taken you 50 years to get a shower. You know that, right?
I know. I've been living in a 10 by 20 shed for 8 years with no running water. There is running water 100 feet away in the barn, but
and
there is a shower in there.
But night in the winter.
It is. It is. Yes. Yes. So we just never thought it would take this long to get this far. So
we're all going to have a virtual housewarming party for Lisa. All the listeners and auditors, we're going to have a virtual housewarming party.
That would be fun. I could do like a tour.
Yeah, you could. Yeah. We'll do it live. Yeah.
Yeah.
For
do
sure.
A little tour. That'll be fun.
Well, Jennifer just got done ordering the vaccines, and she, of course, did that at Chewy. And managing your horse's medications doesn't have to be complicated. Chewy makes it simple. Just add your horse's prescriptions to your cart and check out with your vet's information. Chewy handles the rest by reaching out to your vet for approval and shipping your order right to your barn in just a few days. We got that cold box yesterday with the vaccines.
Ooh.
From allergy relief to joint support, everything your horse needs is just a few clicks away. Plus, Chewy's licensed pharmacists are available 24/7. If you have any questions, visit chewy.com/equine to get started today. For trusted care delivered for the life with horses, there's Chewy. All right, let's get to our first guest. I'm very excited to introduce an old friend of mine. We've been friends in the podcasting world now for about 10, 12 years. And he started what has become a very popular show called What Was That Like? And I know some of you listened to What Was That Like? And it's taken off. It's quite popular. He talks to people who have really stories. Like the first one I ever listened to at his show was a lady right here from Gainesville whose parachute didn't open. And
oh my gosh.
What happened after that? He does those kind of stories. You know, people who's had people break into their houses and, you know, people with very traumatic stuff. And we have always wanted to do the show together, and timing was just right. And we're going to announce that show today. Well, Lisa, I'm so excited to have my brand new co-host on for my new show that's not about horses, Scott. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Glenn. How are you?
Good. Scott and I were talking about it the other day, and I think we've known each other for maybe 10, 11 years now.
Oh, it's a long time. Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I think I've been on this show before.
You have.
It was a long time ago. But, you know, out of respect to your audience, knowing I'm going to be on today, I took a shower. and it's not even my day. So,
if it was respect to my audience, Scott, you would not take a shower. Go roll around
the room.
Barn,
okay.
And
yeah.
Stay stinky for a while.
Exactly.
Scott, you were on the show, I think, soon after you started your show, What Was That Like? And mm-hmm. I know a lot of our listeners listen to both because I see them commenting on your page. And when I made the announcement to our auditors, they were all like, two of my favorite podcasters together. They were very excited about that. But when was it that you started What Was That Like?
It was July of – actually, the first episode was the 4th of July, 2018.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, time just flies by.
God, I remember you doing the first episode, and it seems like yesterday. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I know we have a mutual friend – who, when she learned about this new podcast we're doing, her remark was, "Oh, my two favorite old white guys."
She's not wrong.
Yeah.
We both pretty much have the same beard and everything. I mean, it's pretty.
Yes.
Yeah, you could be twins. Yeah.
Yep. Well, other than the height, yeah, there's a height difference.
Are you surprised, or, you know, at what point did you realize that, what was that like? You went, oh, this show's really taken off. It's really doing better than I thought it would be.
Well, I had that hope from the beginning. Of course, what podcaster doesn't hope that their show makes it big, you know? But I had that hunch, you know, and because of the power of storytelling. You know, everyone loves a good story, especially one that's true and one that generates emotion. Because, I mean, you've heard a lot of my episodes. Sometimes there's trauma. Sometimes there's elation. I know I've had a lot of guests crying as they told their story.
Oh, you can't watch Scott's show with that. We call it a tissue alert here on the show. We have to issue tissue alerts. You need a tissue. It's okay. A tissue alert every one of Scott's episodes.
Yeah. And when you can generate that kind of emotion in people, that's what really got me. One of the inspirations to start this show was another podcast that I listened to that generated that kind of emotion in me. And I thought, man, if a story can do that, there's some power there.
Scott does an excellent job, though, and I've told you this before, and I've said this on stage of podcasting conferences about you before. You're such a good host. You do a lot of pre-prep for your episodes with these people, though, and because of the nature of what they're talking about, you know, murders and, you know, all of that bad stuff. Some of them. Now, she does episodes that are good, but you really do have to talk to them ahead of time, don't you?
Oh, yeah. We always do a pre-chat, and if they've written a book, I definitely read the book. And I'm kind of obsessive about having notes and having the total story arc in front of me as I'm talking to them. Because one of the reasons is these people that I talk to normally don't get interviewed. They're not public figures. They're just a regular person who had this, you know, they went skydiving and the parachute didn't open, or they got attacked by a monkey, or, you know, things like that. And they're just telling the story. And sometimes they're nervous, you know, they're often nervous. But it's funny, after we've been talking for a few minutes, it just comes down to they're so comfortable and they feel it's just the guest and me and just two people talking. And I love when it goes that way because they become, a lot of them are very vulnerable. They, for some of them, it's the first time they've told this story from beginning to end in detail to someone who is focused completely and wants to hear the whole story. And boy, it comes out, you know, some amazing, amazing content sometimes.
And there's a special talent, too, in being a host that can guide that story. So there is a beginning, a middle, and end. And you do that so well. I mean, I think you're probably one of the best at it. And I think it's probably because, too, you know that story from beginning, middle, and end, and you can kind of guide them through it. Lisa, I got to tell you, though, Scott knows this. There's one thing I will not listen to in his shows that I skip ahead. And I wish there was a skip ahead button like there is on YouTube for ads. He plays the 911 calls, and I just cannot listen to 911 calls.
Wow.
They wreck me. I cannot do it.
That's what puts you right there in the action.
I can't do it. It's too. I just can't do it.
Yeah,
I know why you do it. I just can't listen to it.
How do you get those, Scott? Do you have to get special permission to use those?
It's actually public information, but you have to know how to access it. And the weird thing is that every city, town, every jurisdiction, they're all different in how you can get those audios. And like in Tennessee, I was trying to get a 911 call for something that happened in Tennessee, and they said only residents of Tennessee can request that. So, well, perfect. The guest on the show lives in Tennessee, so they got it for me. Some cases, like New York, they won't give it to you at all unless you have a subpoena or something. But other places, I make a phone call, and it's in my email as an audio file within an hour. So
wow.
It's all different.
I didn't know.
Well, I live in Tennessee, so if you need any help there, just let me know.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
So then I don't know who went to who, Scott, for this new show that we're doing together. We always thought it'd be kind of fun to do a show together. However, I went to Scott and said, look, no prep on this show because that's not my style. How about we do it where we hear the story for the first time? And we switched it up a little. And so this show is called Did I Hear That Right? And we asked a question on our feeds and we said, what's one unusual thing that you've done that no one else you know has? So that's what the story's about. It's about stories about unusual things that people have done that you don't know too many people who have. And Scott, I know, Scott, it's taken you a little bit to get used to not doing the prep and all that stuff.
It's a little out of my comfort range, yes. You know, going in blind. But that's kind of the fun part of it, though, because that means you and I are hearing the story for the first time, just like all the listeners are.
Episode one is out. And let me tell you, Scott and I, when we were hearing this, we did it on, it's not a video podcast, but we were on video and we could see each other's faces. And it was, when you hear this first episode, you have to go listen to it. And it's one of the listeners of the show. She's an auditor. Her name is Emily. And she tells this story about a wild night in Germany. And let's just say she should not be alive today. And she's lucky she's alive today. But every part of this story, she was excellent, by the way. Emily's an excellent storyteller. Every part of this story, Scott and I's mouths were open.
Yep.
But it was fun for us. I think we wouldn't have had the same reaction to it had we had heard the story before.
You're right. That's the value of not doing research, not prepping the guest or anything, which, like I said, it's not something I usually do, but it's still a good story is a good story. And, you know, the bad ones, people aren't going to hear because we're not going to put those out, right?
we couldn't have picked a better one than Emily, though, for the first episode.
Yeah.
There's no. So it's out there now. It's called Did I Hear That Right? And shockingly, that name was not taken. And you'll find it on any podcast player. We have a website, didithearthatrightpodcast.com. We have a Facebook page. Just search for Did I Hear That Right? I think you guys are all going to love this show. It's very short. So we're keeping the episodes to their stories. Some of them are 10, 12 minutes, and the episodes we guarantee will be under 20. But so it's very short. We're putting them out twice a month on the 5th or on the 1st and the 15th of the month. So we'll have another one coming out here on the 15th, and I'll tease that one a little bit. So the second episode is something that all of us have dreamt of our entire lives, and that's an inheritance from a long-lost relative you never knew. And that actually happened to this person. We're going to hear that story. So the stories are going to be very varied. We don't really have criteria, do we, Scott? Just they have to be a fun, interesting story.
Yeah. And we really don't want anything that's traumatic.
No, we'll let you do that on your show. I'm not up for that.
Right. I cover all that. Well, this is going to be a happy, fun, funny show.
And, you know, I would say that the first episode we did with Emily was almost traumatic, but because in the end it wasn't, then we could sit back and go, okay, this is just a bunch of bad decisions all in a row.
Yes, it's okay to laugh about it. But you're right. There was there's a certain point in that story where things could have gone very badly.
Very badly.
And people will know when they hear the story. They'll know where that was. But it didn't. So
it didn't. It ended up being a sweet story. Sort of, in the end.
Well, I have to listen now. I mean.
So, yeah, Scott, I'm so happy we're doing this together. I think it's just going to be a lot of fun. And
it is.
I hope your listeners and my listeners all take a listen to it. And I have to clarify with my listeners, there will be not a horse mentioned. It's actually part of my contract with Equine Network that I couldn't do another podcast that included anything about horses. So I guarantee you will not hear about a horse on that show, but some of them are horse people telling the stories. They're just not about horses. So if you're only into horses, then this is probably not the show for you. But if you just want to hear some fun stories and Scott and I learning about them along with you, then it's probably the show for you.
That might be a good motto. No horses, no crying. That's the show.
Go. Ooh,
that's perfect. That like covers that. Both of us then.
Right.
I hope that this show gets to be as popular as yours. You've done a great job of building a community and getting the show out there to thousands of people. And let's just have some. We're looking at this as just our fun little side gig. So
sure.
Don't worry. Yeah. We're not leaving. None of us are leaving our full time jobs. So
that's for sure. And I hope that someday you will reach your goal of having completed 175,000 episodes or something.
Yes.
You're well on your way already.
Yes. But. Yes.
I have quantity. That's what I have going for me. Quantity. It's not always quality, but I have quantity. That's what I was shooting for in the beginning, Scott. I'm just going to do more episodes than anybody else.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah. It works.
Hey, Scott, what's the name of your other podcast?
The other show, my show is called What Was That Like? And
there
it's
we
on
go.
All the apps, but also at the website, whatwasthatlike.com.
And he has what? You have hundreds of episodes.
About 260 something, okay. I think. Yeah.
That's hundreds. That counts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his are, they'll get you through a road trip. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. So, Scott, thanks for doing this with me, and I'm looking forward to just having fun with it going forward here and hearing some more really unusual, different stories.
Yeah, and anyone listening to this, I mean, we're never going to run out of content, but obviously we're always looking for new stories. Did you give our email address so people could send story ideas?
I was trying to remember it right off the top of my head. Do you remember it, Scott?
Yeah, the email address for people to contact us and submit ideas is dididihearthatright@gmail.com.
And the question you want to answer is, what's the one unusual thing you've done that you don't know anybody else that's done this? That's the question that we want answered. So send us your ideas. We'd love to have you. And we're looking forward to some entertainment down the line. Thanks, Scott. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
As horse owners, we have an unlimited supply of love for our animals, but we tend to underestimate the cost of their care. Routine and unexpected expenses can quickly add up, making it hard to keep pace. So wouldn't it feel great to be prepared with a budget-friendly way to manage these costs? The Care Credit Health and Animal Care Credit Card can help give you financial peace of mind. With flexible financing from Care Credit, you get to care your horse needs and then pay over time in easy monthly payments. You can use Care Credit at more than 25,000 veterinary hospitals. They that accept the card, and you can pay for everything from annual exams, vaccinations, parasite controls, procedures, nutrition diagnostics, and surgery. My small animal also takes it. Large, small, they don't care. Care Credit, it's your card for a lifetime of care subject to credit approval. To learn more and apply, visit carecredit.com/horses and pets.
Well, we have host Stephanie Roth. She's the managing editor of The Horse and a longtime horse owner herself. She has a brand new podcast that's going to be right here on the Horse Radio Network. Stephanie, welcome.
Well, thank you so much for having me back. I've been here before.
Yes, you have been. Yes, you have been. And you've had your own podcasts on the Horse Radio Network. But this is something that's kind of new and exciting. Tell us a little bit about it.
So this is From the Horse, like you said, and it is novelly titled Feeding Horses. We wanted to keep it simple. So it
love
is,
that.
Yeah, right. So obviously it's a podcast about
Let
feeding
me guess,
horses.
Feeding horses. <Woo-hoo>!
So it's nutritionally based. It's monthly. It comes out on the fourth Thursday of every month. And we just cover one topic at a time. So we get an expert in the fields and we talk about one thing at a time. We try not to take up too much of your time because, you know, there are so many podcasts to listen to on the Horse Radio Network that we have to get to them all. So
of course.
So we try to keep them 20, 30 minutes. They might go a little bit longer than that. And we just focus on one thing each time. And we try to make it interesting and not too scientific and make it pertinent to the horse owner or farm manager or whatever facet of the horse industry that you're in to make it useful to anyone listening.
I think useful is the key word here. So
useful is good.
Yeah, useful is very good. Yes, yes. So what kind of topics have you covered already?
So we did one, a very popular one on common feeding mistakes, you know, like what people often will do that might not be, you know, while they might be doing it in the best interest of their horse, might not be really the best thing for their horse. We've done two focusing on hay because hay is such a massive topic. We did,
right.
I did one with Dr. Kerry Williams from Rutgers University about hay, and then just followed up with Dr. Bob Coleman from the University of Kentucky. I mean, he talked even more about hay. And so I don't have it scheduled yet, but I hope to do something this summer on like electrolytes because it's really hot
yes.
in a lot of part of the country right now. So
everywhere.
We try to pick timely topics as well, like what's going on seasonally and that sort of thing. But it's new, so we only have a few episodes, but that's kind of the direction we're going. We want to talk with somebody different each time and, you know, experts in their fields.
So how did you come up with this idea versus, you know, something else?
Well, mostly because of looking at our metrics on thehorse.com and what people are most interested in and what they interact with the most. And nutrition is always one of the most viewed, read, questioned topics. People are always interested in what they're feeding their horses. So we just thought that that would be a good place for us to dip our toe in.
You know, I was at the feed store a couple of weeks ago and I had purchased some alfalfa pellets because we have an older guy who just mm-hmm. needs them. And some guy was coming in and he said, "Oh, I see you have alfalfa pellets." He said, "You know, you have to soak those, don't you?" And I said, "Oh, yeah, we do. We do soak them." And I thought, you know, so what are some of the big mistakes that people have told you that they're making or that you see that people are making?
Well, some of it is, you know, feeding horses that are already in good flesh mm-hmm. too much.
Yeah.
So too much of a good thing.
Right.
I take offense to that. You're talking about, woman.
No offense, but I didn't say it. I didn't say it. These are our experts saying that sometimes they will see horses that are already in good flesh, maybe being fed a little more than what they actually need.
Uh-huh.
So that's fairly common. Sometimes, you know, the different types of hay or just throwing a lot of hay out there and waste it in it. And
oh yeah.
As Dr. Coleman said, horses like to make a bed out of their hay.
Yes. Yes.
So, you know, not being able to manage the hay so that they eat it and not do other things with it, which
yes.
just ends up wasting a lot of money. And yeah, just some different things like that. And one of the segments that we have at the end of every podcast is something that we call Viral Ideas Real Horses. And that's where we take something like an old wives' tale or something that we've been told for years and years or some crazy thing that's, you know, making waves on
yeah.
social media or something. and along the line, and we ask our expert to either confirm or debunk it. And something like what you said, Lisa, is exactly the sort of thing. Like, do you need to soak alfalfa pellets? You know, because
right.
And one of them was, does alfalfa make horses hot? So some of those things that you hear, we address those kinds of questions as well.
Oh man, I wish you had been around like 40 years ago when I moved to Tennessee because I brought my horse down from, she'd been with me in Minnesota and then Washington State. Now here we are in Tennessee, and I'm the neighbors looking at, you know, doing something to my horse across the fence. I'm coming up to him and I said, "What are you doing?" And he's feeding her cigarettes. Oh. And I'm like, what?
Welcome to Tennessee.
I know. Wow. And I'm like, well, what are you doing? He said, "I'm feeding her cigarettes." She said, "It'll kill the worms." Oh. And I'm like,
all right, Stephanie, okay, you need please, to get I'll, one of your doctors to I'll talk about that one.
Let me write that one down and see if anyone, I will say I've never heard that before. That one's a new one for me.
Well, you haven't lived in Tennessee. That's why.
No, apparently not. Okay.
So I think, you know, I love that segment at the end because you hear all these things and you know, you don't know whether it's true or not. And then you can even go to some respected sources and you'll get conflicting information.
Exactly. Yeah. And some things change over time. Like when I started, this will date all of us a little bit. When I, you know, was new in the horse world, we fed very simple diets, like some oats, some corn, you know, it was not very complicated. But one of the questions that we talked about was if corn causes horses to colic. And while it may not, it's still, corn is not really fed to horses much anymore because they have found better energy sources and better ways of doing it. So some things, you know, have just advanced with time and knowledge, you know, that we can do better for our horses now.
Right, right. Yeah. And I think too, you know, in talking to some other feed experts, you know, I think they're doing studies and research on feeding for longevity, you know, they're better at feeding younger horses and understanding just like people, you know, we're not eating baby food when we're 30. Well, we shouldn't be, you know?
Right. Exactly.
So that's very, very exciting. And I like the fact that you've got different experts coming on, you know, who are specializing in certain things. So that's good. So I think, you know, my other big question about this is what do you think is the biggest thing that people need to understand about feeding their horses?
You know, I've sort of asked that general question framed to most everyone, like what is one simple thing that people can do? And in a lot of cases, it comes back to weigh what you're feeding, like weigh how much hay you're feeding.
Yeah.
One flake of hay might weigh 2 pounds. Somebody else's flake of hay might weigh 10 pounds. So weigh what you're feeding. The whole feed. Concentrate by pounds, not by scoops, and follow, you know, follow the directions on the feed label. So it's just to kind of make it simple. We tend to, we humans, I don't know, maybe I'm just speaking for myself, but we tend to complicate things more than they really need to be complicated.
Yes, I agree.
So to kind of take it down to the very basics and weigh what you're doing and go with, and certainly talk to a nutritionist or your veterinarian. And as far as, because horses are individuals, but in generalities, the 1.5% body weight in hay, and, you know, adding what you need to, if you need to add something on top of that, depending on the horse. But that seems to be one of the most important things is go buy a scale, and they all say you can get a scale at Walmart or Amazon. It's not very expensive. Weigh your stuff and figure out exactly what you're feeding, the basics, before you go doing anything else.
You know, right, the problem with that whole 1.5 thing is the fatter my pony gets, the more he gets.
the more that 1.5
I don't think that works,
is.
Actually.
Okay, well, all right. So maybe we should look at ideal weight.
Yes, yes.
Should yes. be weight, should be.
Should be weight, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good point, Glenn. That's a very that is, good point.
Now, my pony loves point. That idea. I think it's a great
right.
idea.
Right. You know? Let me gain well, another 200 yeah. pounds.
Yeah. And I think, too, people don't know how much their horses weigh often. They just guess.
True as well. Yeah. You know? Yeah. And so, you know.
I wonder
and
how accurate those weight tapes are. Do you think they're really
Oh,
accurate?
I don't think they are. So we borrow our county livestock scales twice a year to get accurate weights on
oh,
our
really?
Horses. And I, yeah, and I think most counties have livestock scales that you Do might they? Be able to borrow. I don't know. I'm probably creating a whole nest of things here right. that shouldn't be, but our county does. So we have accurate weights and, you know, we have one horse who, you know, she weighs 1300 pounds, but if you do a weight tape on her, it's going to come up as 1150.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if you use the same weight tape, even if yes. it might not be 100% accurate, if you use the same one, you can still in generalities, you know, see if a horse is gaining or losing.
Yes, that's weight. True.
So
that's true.
You know,
and you can adjust yeah. from there for sure. Yeah.
Well,
sure.
Stephanie, this show is out now. It's called Feeding Horses. You can just look for it in any podcast player. I'll put a link to in our show notes. Yep. I assume it's also going on to the Horse Radio Network All Shows feed,
yep.
All episodes feed. So if you get that feed, you should see this popping in, and you can check it out there. When did you say it is? The fourth Thursday of every month?
The fourth Thursday of every month. And we are also on YouTube.
Yeah, you guys Ooh. Are doing video too. Fancy.
We are doing video.
Wow.
Not my most exciting thing, I must say, but it is on YouTube as well. And we are, if you search for thehorse.com on YouTube, you'll find us.
Oh, I'm totally impressed.
Thank you, Stephanie. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Take Bye-bye. Care, guys.
Well, Lisa, I don't know if you've been on for a history segment before.
I have once.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. We're continuing.
But you
it.
Know what? I think you weren't here.
Oh, okay.
I think it was just Jamie and me.
Okay. Well, we do this segment now every episode called This Day in Equine History. It's turned out to be quite popular, so we're going to keep doing it. Well, on this day in 1880, at the 14th running of the Belmont Stakes, track officials introduced the concept of the post parade, forcing horses to walk past the grandstand before the race so spectators could view them. It became an instant hit, and of course, it remains today with all the major races do this. And the term is called, it's called call to post. And I wondered where call to post came from, you know, where that term came from. You
right.
Post parade, you would think would be after, but it's,
yes.
they're going to the post. And the reason it became that and that term started is before we had gates, you know, gates only came into effect in the 1930s. Before that, all the horses would line up at a post in the ground. So they put a post on each side, and they're still there today, actually. They put a post on each side of the start line, and what would happen is that the horses were called to the post. They would come up to the post, and that's where they would start the race. And so the term call to post came from that.
I never knew that. I knew about the starting gates, and I knew that they all used to line up. Did not know about the post or the term. That's fascinating.
Well, and that's where the trumpet came from. The call to post with the trumpeter came from. That was to let the horses know that they were to come up to the line.
Wow.
And then what they did back then is the starter dropped a flag or they fired a pistol, you know, which can you imagine yeah. that today?
Well, yeah.
Today's thoroughbreds.
But, you know, steeplechasing, they haven't used starting gates.
No, they
some of them still don't.
Way. Yeah, they still do it this way. Yeah, so that's really why it got, or they either called it going to the post or the call to post. So that's
wow.
how that also, I didn't know that either. I thought it was fascinating. On July the 9th in 1921, during a meeting in Paris that led to the formal rules of the International Federation for Equestrian Sports, the FEI, a committee of classical masters gathered to codify modern dressage judging standards. They explicitly drew from the ancient Greek Xenophon's teachings, emphasizing that training should preserve the natural harmony and freedom of the horse. But what shocked me about this is I didn't realize the FEI has been around since 1921.
I didn't know that either. I didn't know that either. And so Xenophon is kind of fascinating because he wrote this book about horse training, I think in 400 BC, they've traced it back that far, and you can get it. I think it's a free download on Amazon, maybe, but you can get it. And his training methods are not all that natural or harmonious.
No, they're not. That's why I thought it was kind of funny about this. And of course, dressage has been accused of not being either after this. So,
well, yeah. There you go.
Yeah. So, but what stuck out to me there was the 1921. It's hard to believe that I didn't know
over 100 years.
Yeah.
I would have guessed like 1950s or something.
Yeah, that's what I would have said too. I would have said the 50s. Well, in any case, learned something new. Learned two new things today.
Two new things.
And on this day in 1937, the historic Lexington Junior League's Charity Horse Show. We lived in Lexington. This is always a big deal every year. The Lexington Junior League Charity Horse Show kicked off for the very first time in 1937. And over the decades, this midsummer staple has become a pinnacle of outdoor American standardbred and hackney pony competition, serving as the first major leg in the prestigious Triple Crown for show horses in this world. And it was always a big deal. The Lexington Junior League Charity Horse Show was always a big deal.
Wow.
So that started in 37. Again, a lot further back than I thought.
I agree. Wow.
So there
you go. Who knew?
And before we end today's show, I wanted to ask you, the next book in your series, I know you're writing it now. Is it done or are you in editing?
Well, it's done. It's in the editing thing. And it's called The Cold Equation. It takes place in winter, but also Bubba, the young kind of juvenile delinquent that has become Kat's foster child. He has asked Kat to find his biological mother because she's not been in the picture. And so they go on this adventure to try to find her. And here's the thing though, and I'm probably too much in my head about this. You know, you have actors who play parts that you have envisioned in your
Bubba
head.
Now I can picture Bubba as the kid that played him and that I met. That's all I know. I can picture.
I know, right? And so he doesn't exactly match up with Austin Bourne did a fabulous job as Bubba. I mean, he really did. He was perfect. But he doesn't quite match up physically with the kid I have in my head. And so then I'm like, I'm going back into the manuscript, like, well, should I change this because Austin did it this way, or do I just write the story? And so
I love how you're thinking positive that the next four books are going to be made into movies. I really like that you're thinking that positive.
I'm hoping, and they're talking about a series actually, so that would be amazing. But we'll see. And I've just got to get back in my head. I've got to get out of movie.
Yeah, I think you really need to get that out of your head and just do the book.
They'll adjust
the script anyway, right? So
well, they will, but it's like the actors brought different flavors to the characters, and I'm now finding myself translating those onto the page that maybe it's not consistent with previous character stuff in previous books. Yeah. So I'm going back and doing all that. So it's like,
you never thought this would be a problem.
Oh, it's a wonderful problem to have. But anyway, it's The Cold Equation, and it should be out late in the year sometime.
When did you write the first book?
This is scary, Glenn. The first book I wrote in 1993. But it wasn't published. It wasn't published until 2011.
I didn't realize you wrote it that soon.
Oh yeah, but it should not have. Well, thank you, but maybe 14. But it needed so many rewrites, and it had six major overhauls with the
20 years input worth of, apparently.
Yeah, really, it did. So, and I've been looking for that first version of it because I want to see if it's as bad as I think it was.
Oh, and that was you've probably been through five different hard drives and computers since then, so Lord knows where it is, right?
I know, but it's like you going back to some of the first shows.
Some of them, if they weren't online, if they weren't on our host, I wouldn't have them. We don't have backups of them anymore.
No. Yeah. Well, 4,000. I mean, that's a lot of hard drive space. But the sound quality was different, and you and Jamie were different, So it's things progress, and hopefully in the right direction.
Who would have thought you would ever back then think about this ever being made into a movie? Who would have thought?
Well, first of all,
you didn't even think about horse things being made into movies anyway in general, right?
So
until Yellowstone kind of changed all that.
Yes, yeah. Thank goodness. And yeah, I think, you know, you don't think you're just trying to get the next word down on the page, you know, like you're just trying to get the next show out.
Yeah.
You know, authors are just trying to get the next page done, the next chapter done, and you know, not trying to look too much beyond that. And it's been amazing.
Well, I have another bit of good news for Jennifer and I that I was so excited about yesterday. It was the best call I've had all year. The people that are running fiber in our neighborhood called, and they're going to hook us up on the 6th of next month.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited.
I got to tell you, this is very funny. So the lady, I can tell she's used to dealing with the seniors that live in our neighborhood because yeah. She's like, which plan do you want? And I said, the best one. She said, well, I didn't even go over the prices. I said, I don't care. The best one. The best plan you got, which is a gigabyte up and down. So that's just tremendous because we're working on Verizon 5G right now, which is a little iffy sometimes. And it's been okay, but it's a little iffy. And it's the same price as her plan. And she said, I need to go over the rates for hooking it up. And she said, if your house is less than 400 feet from the road, we'll do it for $99. I said, sold. She kept questioning everything like she was going to get argued with. And then she said, well, what about a router? I said, I'll take it. Is it good? And she's like, yeah, we have to use really good routers. She said, it's $10 a month. I said, sold. Just hook me up, whatever it takes. Just here's my credit card, take it. And I could tell she was just like, this is the first person that hadn't argued with her in a month, you know? I was like, you don't understand. I never thought we'd have fiber ever living here. So I am just thrilled.
Oh my gosh. Glenn, we got fiber, I think it was 2 years ago, and such a game changer. Oh my gosh.
There were times when we couldn't do the show with Lisa because her internet was so bad.
You
would go to people. When I was at your house, we went to somebody's house to do the show.
We did. Yeah. We did. Yes. Yes. I would go to the Ag Extension office, and I'd go to, you know, just invite myself over for breakfast.
All the internet you want.
Oh, and at speeds you need, and it's just...
We had Starlink for a long time, but our bill went up because we needed the better Starlink, and it got worse and worse the more people who signed up. It got slower and slower.
Oh, of course,
that's the problem they're having now with Starlink, so they keep raising the price. Well, we were at $250 a month. And I was like, this is not sustainable, you know? So that's when we switched to Verizon, came out with their 5G. They put a tower up right by our house, actually. And, you know, that was $89 a month. And now this new fiber is $89 a month. And I'm like, I'll take it.
Oh,
this
you
poor
know,
lady,
that's...
She was so happy, I think, when she got off the phone with me. I was like, I don't care. Just do it. I don't care. Just do it.
You know, we had, I think, like upload speeds and download speeds of like 1 and 2.
Yes, you did.
and we were paying, Glenn, we were paying like $220 a month for that. I mean, it was ridiculous. And now we're paying like half that. Plus we get a landline thrown in. I mean, it's crazy. So
I'll hook up your new house and you'll have it both places.
Yes. Well, I can't wait.
I'm excited. I'm excited for you. Well, hang on, auditors. Again, we have no idea what we're going to talk about, but we'll hang out with you for a few minutes coming up. And in the meantime, tomorrow, as I said earlier in the show, we're going to play the brand new episode of Did I Hear That Right? We're going to play that for all of you. We don't have Thursday show now for the second Thursday of the month yet. We're working on that. We got some new announcements coming up here very shortly that I think you're all going to be excited about. But I also can't announce that yet. So tomorrow was kind of we're going to be dark. And I just thought I'd throw the new episode in for those that want to listen to it. And then Friday, Ashley's going to be here. And we have a special guest on Friday. We have Sammy Joe, who also came on our show in 2011 for the first time. And Sammy Joe, we had her on the show for the first time because she rode and jumped a zebra. And we're having her on to talk about the auction zebra. Just went through the auction because there's been a lot of comments about you shouldn't be riding zebras and all that stuff. So we're having Sammy Joe on to talk about that. So that'll be coming up on Friday's show. And of course, get your bad ads in to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. Lisa, where can they find you?
Oh, LisaWysocki.com or on Facebook or, you know, just do a Google search.
Amazon, you can search Lisa Wysocki and you'll find all her many books, more than just the Ken Enright books. All of the books are on there.
Yeah. So yeah.
They're all there. All right. Yeah. Take care, everybody.